Yeah, man. Welcome back. Triple Play Thursday, man. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. Squat. Requesting Chuck Mangione Quartet. That's Listen to the Wind. Hey, welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. every weeknight. Here until 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Thursday morning. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We'd love to join you. We're going to talk about minor characters on TV shows or supporting characters on TV shows that are sometimes better than the leads, that are who are your favorite small characters or surrounding characters on TV, and some of them that really broke out. We'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. So, as I mentioned when I was talking to Dan, the first show that popped into my head when I talked about supporting characters or like minor characters that were just amazing, for me, it all goes back to what I've said many, many times on this show, the best TV show of all time, and that's The Wire. And there are so many great supporting characters on that show, and they're so memorable. And you got Omar Little, who was, you know, as I said to Dan, perhaps the best supporting character in the history of television. You got Stringer Bell, played by the great Idris Elba. You got Barksdale. You got Wallace, played by the great Michael B. Jordan. Marlowe, Carcetti, Clay Davis. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's the Wire is sort of like the definitive show that features extraordinarily interesting and awesome supporting characters. So that's the first one that popped into my head. But there are a lot more. You know, Dan mentioned Deadwood. He also mentioned The Sopranos, and The Sopranos had like dozens of awesome supporting characters. And there are tons of them out there. Sometimes a supporting character takes off, and they're not expected to take off, and you know, and it kind of changes what the show was really about. Which, for instance, you know, the first one, Dan, that I thought of in that regard is Fonzie.
Yep.
Because in Happy Days, Fonzie was just, you know, he was in maybe one or two scenes and, you know, was written as a very small role who would just pop up one, two scenes per episode. But the character took off, you know, so much that he became one of the main characters on the show. And then obviously after Ron Howard left, he was the main character on the show. So what started out as what was supposed to be a small part for Henry Winkler turned out to be one of the biggest and most popular things on the show, and it turned out to be the definitive role of his career, until now in Barry. He's so good on Barry, Dan. He's so good. And he's, because, you know, when you see Henry Winkler, you get the impression, I mean, I've never met him, I've never interviewed him, but I know people who have interviewed him, and one of the sweetest guys on the planet. You know what I mean? Like one of the most likable and sweetest dudes on the planet. He's a lunatic on Barry. And he's really cutting loose. And I don't think until this show or any movie I've ever heard Henry Winkler drop an F-bomb. Oh, wait. I think he might in Scream. In Scream, he might. I'm trying to remember because he's in Scream. He's in Scream, the original Scream. Or Scream 2. He gets killed. Anyway, he plays the principal of the school. I think it's the original. Is it the original Scream? Esmeralda, do you remember the original Scream?
I don't remember him being in it.
Okay, because I know he's in one of them. Because he confiscates a ghost mask from someone. Someone's running around the school wearing one of the ghost masks, you know, that the killer wears in Scream. But he's in one of the Scream movies. I think it's the first one, if I'm not mistaken. Does it say anything?
IMDb is being slow. I'll get you for in a minute here.
Okay. All right. But anyway, but other than that, I don't know if I've ever heard Henry Winkler drop an F-bomb. But he does weekly on Barry. Esmeralda, you don't get the HBO, right?
I don't.
Barry is, if you get a chance, you know, sometimes you watch a little things online. If you can find,
yeah, I've seen the trailers for it. It looks good.
Oh, it's so good. And Hader is amazing. And I know you got to be a fan of Bill Hader. And this is like, he created this. He directed the first three episodes. And it's such a complex and interesting and really funny character. And he's just great on it. And I really think Henry Winkler is going to get nominated for an Emmy for it. I really do. It's just, it's one of those roles that's like, it's really, it's a, like we're talking about supporting roles that really stand out. And Henry Winkler as a supporting character on Barry is just, he's amazing and funny as hell. So anyway, but that's what we're talking about, supporting characters. And I, of course, mentioned The Wire as having like just a myriad of unbelievably cool characters that could steal the show at any time. And then another, you know what, another show that pops into my head, Esmeralda? Simpsons. So many great supporting characters on The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm the first one that pops in, and there's a million of them, but the first one that pops into my head is Ralph. Ralph Wiggum just kills me every single time he opens his mouth. Hi, liar. That's my favorite Ralph line of all time. Do you remember that episode, Esmeralda?
I don't.
That's the one where Bart sets the Christmas tree on fire by mistake, and then everybody thinks that somebody broke in and did it, you know, and
yeah.
And so all of Springfield gives the Christmas gifts, gives the Simpsons Christmas gifts, and then they find out that indeed, you know, they find the melted tree and everything, and then they find out that indeed Bart did it, and so everybody hates the Simpsons now. Everybody in Springfield hates the Simpsons. So Lisa goes and comes into school, and she's there, and Ralph is sitting in the seat behind her. Ralph is sitting in the seat behind her, and she comes in, and the teacher, I always forget what Lisa's teacher's name is, because Bart's is Krabappel. She's a great character too, the late great Marshall Wallace. But I always forget her teacher's name. Always Hoover, Mrs. Hoover. Okay, there you go, Mrs. Hoover. So anyway, she comes in, and Mrs. Hoover says, sit down, Lisa. And everybody is like mad at Lisa because of this whole situation. So she sits down, and he goes, and then she says, now turn around. And so she turns her desk like halfway around, and then she goes all the way around, and she turns her desk all the way around, and she's facing Ralph. And as soon as she turns her desk all the way around and faces Ralph, Ralph goes, hi, liar. That's my favorite. That's my one of my favorite Ralph moments of all time. But there are so many. Lenny and Carl. I mean, come on. Those guys, fantastic. Do you have any? Who are your favorite characters on The Simpsons, Esmeralda, besides the main people?
I would say one of my favorites is Hans Moleman.
He's who does his voice? Is that maybe that might be Azaria. That might be Hank Azaria. Yeah, Hans Moleman rules. Dan, what about you? Simpsons, what supporting characters do you think are great?
You know, Lenny and Carl are pretty great. You know, when they had the, I forget what the secret society was, but when, you know.
Oh, yeah. I like when Homer wrote on his hand, Lenny, white guy, Carl, black guy, because he couldn't remember which one was which. I mean, there's so many great characters on The Simpsons. Mo, obviously, fantastic. Barney, awesome. Troy McClure. You can't, Esmeralda, Troy McClure. You might know me from such films as, from the late, great Phil Hartman. Yeah, so that's a show that has like a million of them. There's a million, you know, you could, if you're talking about great, substantial supporting characters, The Simpsons is a great one to talk about. And how about Frank Costanza on Seinfeld? That is, you know, I mean, of the because you get your four main characters, okay? But I think of the supporting characters that show up on that show, I think Frank Costanza is the funniest, kind of by far. I think Frank is by far the funniest. I love Estelle too, obviously, but I think Frank Costanza is my favorite supporting character on Seinfeld, and there are a lot of great ones too. Newman, hilarious, but yeah, Frank Costanza, and I think he stands the test of time too. Dan, did you think of any supporting or minor roles in TV shows that stood out?
You know, not necessarily a good one, but a phenomenon we've talked about before is Urkel.
Yeah.
You know, I was in that age of, you know, Friday night on ABC, you know, that block of
TGIF,
yep. And excuse me, Family Matters and Full House and Perfect Strangers, and, you know, just remembering what a phenomenon that became, and, you know, the dance and the t-shirts and all, you know, the catchphrase.
Yeah.
It was just, it was, and you know, and it's like, anytime Jaleel White pops up in anything, it's still kind of like, hey, it's Urkel.
I know. He's going to have that for the rest of his life.
Right. You know, and, you know, the fact that he's, you know, still kind of riding the consciousness on that one role is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And it was, again, this was a role that was not meant to be the lead. It was not meant to steal focus. Here's a quick story about that. Family Matters was officially a spinoff of Perfect Strangers. People don't remember that, actually. I think a lot of people don't remember that. The show was supposed to focus on the everyday trials and tribulations of a department store employee, her police officer husband, and three children. Midway through season one, their nerdy neighbor, Steve Urkel, played by Jaleel White, appeared, oversized glasses, suspenders, high-rise pants, squeaky voice and all. Urkel was originally intended as a one-episode character, just one. But after White's initial appearance, studio audience started chanting, Urkel, Urkel, during subsequent tapings. Several unfilmed first season episodes were hastily rewritten in order to feature the whiny-voiced, clumsy character. Interestingly enough, Jaleel White, who had been acting mostly in commercials since the age of three and just prior to being cast as Urkel, had told his mother that he wanted to quit the business in order to play JV basketball when he entered high school the next fall. So there it is. Supposed to be a one-episode thing. He wanted to quit and play basketball, and then Urkel became a phenomenon. Did I do that? So, yeah, that's one of those textbook stories about how a supporting character that was supposed to be a one-off became huge. And same thing with Fonzie. Same thing happened to Fonzie, although he wasn't supposed to be in one episode. He was just going to be like a couple seconds here, a couple seconds there. But then he became like the focal point of the show. And every time we talk about Family Matters, because that was, I never watched that. You know, that was, I was in my early 20s, so I was out every Friday. You know, I never, all of those show Full House, I never watched Family, what Family Matters, what was the Michael J. Fox show, the Family Ties, I never watched that. That's not, that was not ABC, that was NBC. But that was that same time period where I never watched a lot of it. So I miss it. And every time we talk about Family Matters, I specifically remember, and I believe it was you, who told me that Urkel didn't live in the house with them.
Right. He's the neighbor.
Yeah. And I was like, why did they let him in? That's it. Why do they let this little idiot in? Because he's going to come in, do something stupid, break something. And, you know, because I just assumed, because I was obviously aware of Urkel in the pop culture world.
Yeah.
And I never watched the show. I knew he was supposed to be a nerdy dork and he did goofy things. I just assumed he was their kid. And then when you blew my mind and said, no, he's not one of their kids. He's a neighbor. And I'm like, what? Why do they keep letting this moron in the house? I don't understand. I just don't understand the logic. If he's at the door, don't answer it. Go home, Urkel. You're a moron, and you're going to break something. So, all right. Minor TV characters who stole the show, supporting characters on the periphery that you love in TV. 312-981-7200. And if we've not covered all the Simpsons possibilities either, I'm sure there are more that you can think of as well. So 312-981-7200. We got a break here. We got weather and we've got traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Triple Play Thursday. Well, I'm going back in time. Triple Play Thursday. That's one artist, three songs. And Squat requested Chuck Mangione Quartet. That's Carousel. By the way, Henry Winkler was in the first Scream. I was correct. He played the principal in the first Scream. And I don't know if I can't, and specifically brought that up because I don't remember whether or not he did drop an F-bomb. He may have. Or Barry was the first time I've ever heard him do that. But anyway. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And our topic right now is supporting characters in TV shows or minor TV characters that stole the show or are the best. You know, your favorite sort of supporting or minor characters in movies. Or, I'm sorry, in TV. And, you know, I'm looking at this list here, and they also include Alex P. Keaton from Family Ties. So this is interesting. Did you watch Family Ties, Esmeralda? Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay. Gary David Goldberg envisioned Matthew Broderick for the role of Alex when he was casting Family Ties, sitcom about liberal 60s-era parents raising 80s-era children, but Broderick didn't want to leave New York for a long-term project, so Goldberg was left back to square one. At the urging of a casting director, he gave a young Canadian actor named Michael J. Fox a second screen test and reluctantly hired him. And NBC chief Brandon Tartikoff's infamous observation at the time about Fox was, "There's a face you'll never see on a lunchbox." Much to everyone's surprise, Michael J. Fox had an on-screen charisma that quickly made him an audience favorite. He could deliver the most absurd and extreme remarks about, say, women, knowing their place, and garner a laugh instead of a groan as long as he flashed the adorable smile. Meredith Baxter Burney was a bit miffed because her understanding was, when she signed on for Family Ties, that the parents would be the focus of the series. But teen magazine profiles, posters, and then they have their unique impact on the celebrity's Q factor, and soon many of the shows revolved around Alex. During the taping of the episode where Alex lost his virginity, the audience laughter went on for so long that the show ran 12 minutes overtime. Goldberg was standing backstage with Baxter Burney at the time and said to her, "If you want to leave the show, I'll understand." So there it is. It became all about Alex P. Keaton. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and we've got some text coming in. 773, Jimmy Walker's JJ on Good Times. Yeah, that's the reason why they... Did you ever watch Good Times in reruns?
Every once in a while.
That's the reason why John Amos left the show, why they killed him off, the father. They killed off James on that show because... He voiced a lot of concerns about how the show would become really cartoony, and it became the JJ show and Dynamite, and it was supposed to be a show that was about the plight of, you know, this family living in the inner city and the projects, and it became, you know, again, like Family Ties, the focus became about this goofy character, you know, with his catchphrase, and so, you know, John Amos kept getting into arguments with Norman Lear and the people who were, you know, running the show. So they were like, he got a phone call. John Amos tells this story. It's really great. An interesting story. He gets a phone call from Norman Lear and says, listen, you don't have to come back to work. And they killed him off. They killed off James because he was vocalizing how disappointed he was that the show had become so cartoony and revolved around Jimmy Walker's character. But that's what happened. I mean, he took off. JJ took off. And there were Dynamite t-shirts and hats. Everybody was, you know, saying Dynamite. Let's see. Mike in Ravenswood says, Mike Belker, Hill Street Blues. Yeah, Belker was a great character on Hill Street Blues, played by the great Charles Haid. Oh, by the way, you know what Charles Haid was in? Dan, you know what movie Charles Haid was in?
What's that?
Altered States.
Oh, there you go.
So it all comes back. But yeah, he was terrific. One of the best characters on that show. I think he did, in fact, like when that show first started, Belker really took off. So, yeah. Let's see. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Morning. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking, welcome back, Cotter. Well, John Travolta, he kind of took, his whole career took off after that one.
Yeah, yeah. Vinnie Barbarino pretty much stole the show. And then after Saturday Night Fever came out, because Saturday Night Fever came out, like, I think a year and a half after the premiere of Welcome Back, Cotter. And when Saturday Night Fever came out, and it took off as huge as it did, he couldn't walk down the street without people going crazy, and everything changed on the Cotter set. Like, everything had to be about Barbarino. So,
oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then Laverne and Shirley with Lenny and Squiggy.
Lenny and Squiggy, yeah.
They were great. Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were good shows.
Very cool. All right, Glenn, thanks.
I was not a big fan of Jimmy Walker.
No.
J.J. Walker.
Yeah.
I think I show could have gone a different direction if they had taken him off the show.
Yeah, well, that's what John Amos thought, too, and they fired him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to go where the money is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, Glenn, thanks, man.
Have a nice morning.
Take care, bye.
You're welcome.
Yep.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, Dan, you know what Lenny and Squiggy? Michael McKean and David L. Lander?
Yeah.
They're in used cars.
Oh, how about that?
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not.
Yeah. I'm showing used cars.
I had heard a rumor.
Tuesday, May 8th on the big screen. So, let's see. Here's Harold on WGN. Harold.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I hear something in the background. Anyways, the Honeymooners. I came across a video on YouTube. It was Paul Reiser did a special maybe in the late 80s, early 90s. And he basically showed the first first six episodes of The Honeymooners that were run on the Jackie Gleason show.
Mm-hmm.
They were shorts. And in the very first episode, Jackie Gleason and Herb Kelton with Clint Ellis, they got into an argument about his dinner. He threw his dinner out the window, and then she threw a can of flour out the window. And then about 2 or 3 minutes later, knock comes on the door. They open the door, and a cop walks in with a blue suit and everything, navy blue suit, with flour all over him. It was Art Carney, and he wasn't even Norton.
Yeah.
In the very next episode, he was Norton.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, when you have somebody as talented as Art Carney, you know, you're going to use him the best way you can. So, yeah.
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 And then the Andy Griffith show, when it was on Make Room for Daddy or Danny Thomas show,
right.
Whichever it was.
Right.
That very first episode, well, there was no Don Knotts, but there was Aunt B, but she wasn't Aunt B. She was some townswoman that wanted Andy to help her find her husband.
Mm.
So when they did the pilot, she became Aunt B.
She became Aunt B. Well, there you go. That's casting stories from the past, right there. Art Carney becomes the great Ed Norton. All right. Thanks, Harold. We got to take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we want to hear from you. Supporting or minor TV characters that stole the show. Who were some of your favorites? 312-981-7200. News coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah, man. That's One Artist, Three Songs, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran at 6. And that is Lou with his Triple Play request, Wilson Pickett, and that's in the midnight hour. And callers and texters are letting us know. I made a mistake. Belker was played by Bruce Weiss. Charles Hayde played Andy on Hill Street Blues. Belker was the guy who would bite people. He was the Belker was the crazy guy who would bite people. I got my Hill Street Blues supporting characters a little mixed up there. But yeah. So thank you for that correction. My fault. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we are talking about minor characters in TV shows that are very memorable, that you love. Supporting characters that kind of stole the show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to jump in here with your thoughts about minor and supporting characters on TV shows that basically were the best parts of the show or were awesome. Peter in Decatur sent a text, Howard Morris as Ernest T. Bass on Andy Griffith's show. He was only supposed to appear in 5 episodes, yet was so memorable. I also liked Ross Martin as Artemis Gordon on The Wild Wild West. That's a show that that's a show that doesn't get repeated very often, The Wild Wild West. Does anybody know if that show gets shown anywhere? You know, like your MeTVs, your Antenna TV, or the U, or whatever. Because that's a show that it's very popular. People love that show, and it doesn't really seem to appear on any sort of nostalgia channels or anything. If it does, let us know. Give us a text or a call. 312-981-7200. 815 area code says Vince Maranto on Mike and Molly. Oh yeah, there you go. Our buddy Vince appearing on Mike and Molly, and then Colonel Flagg on MASH. Who's Colonel Flagg? I guess I don't know my MASH enough. Colonel Flagg with 2 G's, MASH. I don't know that one. Canadian Bill says, back in 1995, Lauren Graham on Caroline in the City. She was so ditzy and her comic timing was awesome. Even though she was only on 4 episodes, she was very memorable. Well, she's Lauren Graham. She'll always be memorable. Now, you know, Dan, she appeared on Seinfeld as one of Seinfeld's girlfriends.
Wow, did she?
Yeah. You go back and look at some of the actresses that played Seinfeld's girlfriends. It's amazing. You know, like before they became, you know, huge stars. Jennifer Coolidge was one. Lauren Graham. Deborah Messing. I know I'm missing a few more. Courtney Cox. Right before she got, right before I hired her for Friends.
Is that where you saw her first?
I saw her on Seinfeld and went, oh, she'd be good for Monica. Is she Monica? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Rachel, that's the other one. And then what's Lisa Kudrow's name?
Phoebe.
Right. Or Phoebes, as they like to call her.
As you called her.
Yes.
The plot and the pilot.
Exactly. all right, we got some more TV characters that made the show better. Someone says Babette from the Gilmore Girls. Gilmore Girls is another show that has a lot of great supporting characters. The Gilmore Girls. I prefer Kirk. I think Kirk is a great character on Gilmore Girls. And Dan, you never watched Gilmore Girls, right?
No, I never seen one.
And really great Esmeralda. You never watched Gilmore Girls, did you?
No.
That's really. It's funny that the 52-year-old heterosexual man is the one that has watched every episode of the Gilmore Girls 9 times. And how did I spend last year at Thanksgiving? And the Friday after Thanksgiving, watching the entire Netflix reboot of Gilmore Girls. And I just sat on my couch watching it for 4 hours. And it was, no, 6 hours. It was awesome. So anyway, there's a video out there because Kirk is this very quirky character who lives in Stars Hollow. And there's a great video that shows all the jobs that Kirk has had. Because he's one of these characters that always has some sort of scheme. He's always got like 10 different startup small businesses. He's always trying to make money, and he has all these part-time goofy jobs. And so somebody put a video together of every job that Kirk has ever had on Gilmore Girls. It's really funny. If you're a fan of Gilmore Girls and you're a fan of Kirk, you should look it up. Let's see. Carl Weathers on Arrested Development. Carl Weathers. People were talking about how Carl Weathers appeared on Arrested Development. They loved him on that. Estelle on Friends. The description here says, we almost don't know which is better, actual Estelle or Phoebe's impression of Estelle, but in the end, we're going to go with the real deal. Can you help me out with that one, Esmeralda? What's Estelle? I forgot. I didn't write that episode.
I do not remember.
Oh, okay. And then Phoebe does an impression of Estelle. Hmm.
Yeah, no idea.
Okay. It's Joey's agent. Who plays? Do you know who plays Joey's agent? No?
No. I just...
Joey's agent. So that's Joey's agent, Estelle. And then Phoebe, I guess, does an impression of Joey's agent. And someone said on this website that said Estelle on Friends is a great character. Let's see. How about John Ralphio from Parks and Rec? Props to the bro who opened every scene with "What up, Big T?" Now, Esmeralda, I know you watched Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting confused. That's not the same character whose sister is played by Jenny Slate, right?
It is, yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay, because both of them are hilarious. Jenny Slate's hysterical on Parks and Rec. So, let's see. Here is Lonnie on WGN. Hey, Lonnie.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I was just mentioning the TV series Batman, all of the reoccurring villains.
Oh, yeah.
That they would have on that.
Yeah.
And my favorite was probably the Riddler.
Yeah. Frank Gorshin. Nobody ever played the Riddler better. And I'm including anybody who's ever played him, including Jim Carrey. Gorshin was amazing as the Riddler. He was good.
He was.
Yeah.
As a 10-year-old boy, I fell in love with a very curvy Lee Merriweather.
Yeah, see, I was a Yvonne Craig guy when I was growing up. I was Yvonne Craig. I was all about Yvonne Craig when I was a kid. Batgirl was it for me.
Yeah.
So, all right, Lonnie, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, the Batman villains are awesome. Obviously, the Riddler, as was mentioned, is great. So many great, Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. Come on, you can't get better than that. And, I mean, Cesar Romero as the Joker, and Cesar Romero wouldn't shave his. You guys know this story. He wouldn't shave his mustache. They said you got to shave your mustache, and he said, "I will not shave my mustache. It's my mustache. It's makes me sexy and makes me a man. I have a mustache, and it was a big thick mustache." So if you watch, the reruns of Batman, they had to put the Joker makeup over his mustache, and you can see this big mustache with the makeup on it because Cesar Romero refused to shave his mustache. So, and he was great. And Vincent Price as Egghead. Victor Buono as King Tut. So many great villains on Batman. So those were all great supporting characters. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about minor characters on TV shows that stole the show. And we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. But we got a break here for weather and for traffic, and then we'll get back to minor TV and supporting characters that are awesome. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. Triple Play Thursday. And that's Lou with Wilson Pickett, Land of a Thousand Dances. Yeah, man. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about supporting and minor TV characters that steal the show and make the show better. And we were talking about, we mentioned like the 8 million characters on The Wire. We talked about all the great characters on The Simpsons that make up Springfield. So many memorable ones. You know, one of the characters I want to mention, Dan, from The Simpsons was only on one episode and they killed him. Your least favorite episode and my favorite episode of all time.
Yep.
I love our interpretations of that. And it reminds me a little bit of how we both view the ending of Seven.
Right.
Like you view the ending of Seven as upbeat.
Well,
not upbeat, but hopeful.
Hopeful.
Yes. Yeah. Upbeat. Yeah. It's a happy movie. That's right. No, it's like you think it's hopeful, and I don't at all. I find it really sad. And you really hate the Simpsons episode I'm going to mention. It's the Frank Grimes episode, Homer's Enemy, and it's my favorite Simpsons episode of all time. So tell everybody why you hate it.
Coincidentally, I thought of it earlier when you were talking to Dan about it, because your issue with The Simpsons when you jumped ship, you said, was when the characters stopped acting like themselves.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of felt about the Frank Grimes episode. Like Homer, for all his faults and stupidity, in the end is still like a nice guy who cares about his family and like doesn't hate anybody and
right.
and that was the episode where I just thought he was just kind of like that wasn't Homer Simpson. That was like this figment that they used to just create this horrible situation for this dude, you know? Like Homer didn't strike me as a guy who went out of his way to ruin somebody's life.
But I don't think he goes out of his way to ruin his life. He just lucks into everything and it drives this guy nuts.
Right. You know, but like even that didn't seem true to the character for me.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I don't know. Esmeralda, where do you stand on the Frank Grimes character or on that episode?
I didn't really like it.
Wow. All right.
I don't know, I get it. He was really mad because he kept pointing out but it's like, yeah, that's Homer.
Right.
What are you going to do? I mean, that's Homer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, the final line, I'll never forget it. The first time, I've talked about this on the air before. The first time I saw that episode, and they kill off Frank Grimes at the end, and it ends with him being lowered into the grave as everyone in Springfield is laughing. Because Homer was asleep. Marge, this is boring. Change the channel. That's a Homer. And then everybody in Springfield is laughing as this guy's coffin is being lowered into the grave. I remember sitting on the couch with my ex-wife going, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's like the darkest thing I've ever seen on The Simpsons ever. And I was just, I had to watch it again. It was one of those things where I was like, because I used to tape them every Sunday. I taped them back when you had VCRs. And I taped it, and I was like, I can't believe what I just saw. And I thought it was astonishing. And I loved the character of Frank Grimes. And I think that it's one of my favorite voice work that Azari has ever done. I think that character is so, so funny. And Mr. Burns makes the dog vice president of the company. I don't know. I love that. I love that episode when he throws the, because Homer's about to drink acid. And Grimes throws the acid away from Homer and puts a hole. Did you do this to my wall? And he says, I can't remember. I don't know what happens to him. He gets punished. And then the dog goes, arf, arf, when they walk away. It's like he's barking orders. And I don't know. That episode is just, I don't know. I think it's amazing. Anyway, but I like Frank Grimes. I thought that's a supporting character. They kill him. Well, because Ghost comes back. His ghost came back for the opening credits of a Treehouse of Terror. So, all right. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Yeah, you think back in the All in the Family in the Norman Lear Empire, when Cousin Maud came in to help when Edith was sick.
Yeah.
And then, boom, suddenly she's got her own show.
Yeah.
Either he had a master plan or he just lucked into that, because I don't even remember, you know, Maud's family, her husband, or certainly no Adrian Barbeau on All in the Family, but suddenly there she is with clan and crew with a successful show.
Yep.
And you mentioned the Andre the Giant thing. They had one, speaking of Batman, they had the starring Adam West, his sort of thing on cable, and you know, they went into his personal life. It's far more introspective than Andre, you know, talked to his family and his sons and daughters and about his marriage and, you know, before and after Batman up to Family Guy and, you know, being on The Simpsons himself. So, the Adam West piece was very, very well done.
Oh, cool.
And, hats off to Wilson Pickett. You read interviews with all of his musical contemporaries, and he was cool, man. He was very highly regarded, the Wicked Pickett.
Wilson Pickett
far
was
more
the man.
Hipster than the songs you remember him doing. He was amongst his contemporaries, very well thought of.
Oh yeah, so. He was great. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Maud was a, you know, I don't know if the intention was to give her. I think the intention was to give B. Arthur a show. I think that was the intention. So putting her on All in the Family, and they gave her a show. I don't think it was one of those deals where they put her on All in the Family and then went, oh, she's great, let's give her a show. I think the intent was to have her play Maud and to introduce her on All in the Family. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, the spinoffs like that don't really, you know, some of them are planned, some of them aren't. Like, I can't remember whether Mork and Mindy was planned. Because Robin Williams had an episode, because Robin Williams started, that's a spinoff. It's a spinoff of Happy Days. Mork and Mindy, some people always forget, it's a spinoff of Happy Days. Because Mork shows up at the Cunningham's house, and he's, you know, he does his shtick. Robin Williams does his shtick. He's actually darker in the Happy Days episode. He's a villain. He's a bad guy in it. But, and I'm not sure if that was planned, or because Robin Williams killed and Mork, the character, Mork, people just absolutely love the character on Happy Days, that they gave him, you know, they gave him Mork and Mindy. I'm not sure if that was in the plan or not. So, but he really killed on that episode. There's no question about it. Jason in Indiana, for The Simpsons, he chooses Groundskeeper Willie. Groundskeeper Willie's awesome. He's awesome. And I like that. I like any of the Superintendent Chalmer and Principal Skinner stuff. That's all. I mean, the steamed hams thing. I mean, come on. And I know that's your favorite episode, Esmeralda. Is that one, steamed hams? Oh, man. So that's all of that stuff is classic. Okay. We're going to break here, and here's what it says. Mork and Mindy, the Happy Days appearance was supposed to be just a one-off. It was rewritten to introduce the character later. There you go. So that's because Robin Williams came in. He was supposed to do one episode of Happy Days. He killed it, and then they were like, let's give this guy a show. That's how it happens sometimes. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about memorable performances in supporting roles or minor roles on TV shows that took off or stole the show. We're talking about that right after we take a break here for the news. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue, here till 5. Triple Play Thursday continued, and that's Triple Play Thursday. Here, Major. That's three songs, one artist. Lou picking Wilson Pickett, and that's Funky Broadway right here on WGN. All right. How's everybody doing? We are talking about minor TV characters that took over the show or stole the show, or supporting characters on TV that just were memorable and added so much to their shows with their appearances. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We got a bunch of texts here we'll get to, and some people on the line. 312-981-7200. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Hi. The character I was thinking about was Bruce Lee as Kato in The Green Hornet.
Yeah, he was great, and that was one of his first gigs.
He was the only reason I watched it, though.
Yeah, he was the only reason you watched it. Yeah, there you go. Bruce Lee is in The Green Hornet. So, good stuff. Yeah, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Here's some texts coming in here. 815 area code. Dave, thanks for the call. Is Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. You got to love Huggy Bear. Antonio Fargas. Yeah, man. You know, the thing about Antonio Fargas was the outfit that DJ Shagru wears on Fly Jams Friday includes the big giant heels with the goldfish in the heels, right? DJ Shagru?
Right, Super Flash, yeah. Super Flying Shaft.
Yeah, and in the movie I'm Gonna Get You Sucka, Antonio Fargas, who plays Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch, gets out of jail. He's in jail. He gets out of jail, but, you know, like when he gets out of jail, it's the 80s. And he still has his pimp clothes because he got put in jail in the early 70s or mid 70s. He's still got his pimp clothes. And everybody's laughing at him, like they're pointing at him and just laughing at him as he's trying to, you know, strut down the street. And he's got the giant heels with the goldfish in them.
Very nice.
Yeah. Sandy
said, "Why they're laughing at him?"
No, I don't understand. I know it's a quite a great. You look fantastic every Friday when you wear
that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And by the way, that's tomorrow. Fly Jams Friday is tomorrow, and we have our Friday regular features. If you want to participate, it's really easy. We have You Big Dummy, and that's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on it. But if you would like to, if you would like to participate, here's what you do: you want to read a story on the air? Well, find a link to a funny dummy story. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com, and then you'll get on the air. You'll read it, and on top of that, you'll get some Lou Malnati's pizza. So it's a win-win-win situation. Also, straight out of context, that's when you listen 24/7 to this station. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down all the information, who said it, daytime, all that stuff, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We'll play them back. And Nick D Show spies. That's when you listen 24/7. Whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know about it. Jot it all down. And again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All those regular features we will talk about tomorrow, and much more on the show, too. Jason, 312 area code, says Larry Storch in F Troop. Larry Storch is hilarious on F Troop. He is hilarious. 262 area code, Angel on the Rockford Files. The great Stuart Margolin. He is fantastic. He's such a weasel. He's one of the... If we were... you ever watch Rockford Files, Dan?
No, get to that.
It's such a great show. And James Garner, amazing on it. I love that show. I absolutely love it. Rockford Files used to be on when I was in high school. It used to be on after I'd get home from school, and at 4 o'clock, I'd get home from school, and I'd watch Rockford Files every day when I was in high school. And I was in primetime as well. It's just a great show, and James Garner, phenomenal on it. But Stuart Margolin played Angel, like an ex-con guy who was always like, he was just a weasel. If we were to do like a list or talk about the most weaseliest characters of all time, Angel right near the top of that list from Rockford Files. And Stuart Margolin played him so well. So well. And then, of course, Isaac Hayes on the Rockford Files. Isaac Hayes, and I can't remember his character's name, but he used to call Jim Rockford, he used to call him Rockfish. He called him, so he just called him Rockfish. That was one of the things that I remember vividly. And Isaac Hayes was great on the Rockford Files. But yeah, that's a great choice. 262 area code, picking Angel from the Rockford Files. Just such a weasel. 708 area code, Robert on Everybody Loves Raymond. Is that his brother? Is that Brad Garrett?
I'm not sure. Let me see if I can pull
okay.
it up.
Nobody here watched Everybody Loves Raymond. I watched it every once in a while. I just didn't watch it. I think that is his brother.
Yes.
Brad Garrett, yeah. Yes. All right. Let's see. Here is Jim on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Schneider on One Day at a Time.
Sure, yeah. The late, great Pat Harrington. I always found, you know, in going back and watching that show in reruns, you know, in the 70s when I used to watch it when I was a kid, or, you know, 10, 12, 13 years old watching it, I thought, oh, this guy's funny. But, you know, he's really creepy. Like, here's a house
he overdid it.
Yeah. No. I mean, but you think about it, though. Here's a guy, first of all, he's the super, he's got keys. He can just come into that apartment anytime he wants, and it's a single mom and her two daughters by themselves. And this creepy dude with a creepy mustache and a rolled up pack of cigarettes in his T-shirt, you know, I just was like, you look back. I mean, he's funny. Pat Harrington's very funny, and it's played for laughs, and it's over the top. But the situation itself, if you were to tell somebody that situation on paper, you'd be like, yeah, chain the door. I don't want that guy walking into my apartment. I remember there was one episode where they came home and he was in their shower. Like, they came home and Schneider was in their shower. And it's like, Schneider, what are you doing in the shower? And he's like, I needed to take a shower. Wacky. And then that's the visual at the beginning. He's blow-drying his hammer. Like, he's got his hammer because he had his tool belt in the shower with him. I don't even want to think about that. Doesn't that sound fantastic, Esmeralda, wouldn't you like to live in that apartment building?
Of course.
Have that guy as your super?
I'll pay double.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Thanks, buddy.
Have a nice night.
You too, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, Schneider. He's completely different on the reboot. The reboot, which is fantastic. The Netflix reboot, which is great. And they handle Schneider in a completely different way. Like, he's not creepy.
Yeah, Schneider is some good-looking dude.
And he's a good-looking guy, yeah. And he respects the girls in the... Well, it's a boy and a girl in the reboot. It's not two girls. And their grandmother, which is played by Rita Moreno, who is a God's gift to the world, as far as I'm concerned. And so it's completely different than in the original series. But yeah, you think about it, man. Like, Schneider just... I remember there was one episode where he just knocked on the... He opened up the door, just swung the door. Because he never knocked. I don't think he ever knocked. I think he always walked in. Schneider just walked in. And he opened up the door, and he's holding a six-pack, and he's smiling at the teenage girls and Bonnie Franklin. Yeah, I got a six-pack and a tool belt and a mustache. You want a cigarette? Pat Harrington was funny, though, man. He was a funny dude. Even before he got Schneider, he was very funny. He was a stand-up comedian. He was in a comedy team, and... made a lot of appearances, was on Steve Allen's show. He's a regular on Steve Allen's show and killed on that. He was a funny dude, Pat Harrington. Let's see. Oh, look at this. 773 area code and 224 area code says that Wild Wild West airs on MeTV at 4 p.m. Well, thank you. I had put that APB out a little bit earlier wondering if the Wild Wild West is shown anywhere. And look at that. Let's see. 708 area code says Dauber on Coach. I loved Luther, played by Jerry Van Dyke, but he was more of a major character. Dauber has had a few big shows, but at least started out as a more of a supporting character. Who's Dauber? Who played Dauber? Do we know, Dan?
He's the tall guy, kind of balding. You know,
did he have that really low voice?
I believe so.
Yeah, doesn't he do a voice on SpongeBob now?
Does he? Because I never watched Coach. I don't know.
I have a feeling that I saw that.
Like, I think you'd recognize him.
He's one of these character actor guys who just shows up in a lot of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill Fagerbach? F-A-G-E-R-B-A-K-K-E. He plays Patrick on SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Patrick?
Know.
Wow.
I don't know why I knew that.
He's Patrick? Patrick rule. Patrick's like my favorite character on that show. I love Patrick. He's awesome. 815 area code says Steve Landisberg as Dietrich on Barney Miller. He had great one. Like, he was phenomenal on that show. There's a show that had a lot of great, Barney Miller had a lot of great supporting characters. I mean, everybody was Fish. And then he got his own show. Fish got his own show, Abe Vigoda. And who else? Harris was, and then Ron Carey, who played God, what was his name? He was the officer who wanted to be a detective. Ron Carey, I can't remember his name. That's a show that's loaded with a lot of great supporting characters. Peter Indicator says, with a nod to Harry Anderson in Night Court, I liked the recurring character played by John Astin with his signature line after he'd been institutionalized, but I'm much better now. John Astin, classic. He's always going to be Gomez, man. Always. You can't, John Astin, what first thing you think of? Gomez. I mean, I know Raul Julia did a fantastic job in the movie, but John Astin is Gomez. There's no question. Oh, speaking of Harry Anderson, God bless him. The poor guy, we lost him earlier this week. Night Court, great show, but the reason he got Night Court was because he stole every episode of Cheers that he was in. Like, he played Harry the Hat in Cheers, and that's how he got Night Court. That's exactly how he got Night Court, because he made several appearances on Cheers and was like an audience favorite. They were like, let's write a show around this guy, and we can incorporate some of the tricks and all that stuff that he does on Cheers, because he was hilarious on Cheers. Like every single appearance of Harry the Hat was great on Cheers. And that's how he got Night Court. So rest in peace, Harry Anderson. That's sad. All right, let's take a break. We got weather here and traffic. And then we'll talk more about minor characters in TV shows that stole the show. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich coming up in just a few minutes with the opening bell. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And I'll be on with Steve and the gang for my weekly visit at 620. Right now, though, we're talking about minor TV characters who stole the show or supporting characters that were also awesome. Someone has chosen Hank from The Office as a great one. He was always lovable. With his no BS attitude toward the gang's truly ridiculous antics. But when he performed tracks from his blues album at the Crime Aid fundraiser, he really took it to the next level.
So. See, my favorite is the old guy.
Creed.
His name. Yeah.
We were talking about him yesterday.
I think his name is Creed.
His name is Creed. No, we talked about him yesterday. Jim Hankey, you know, he used to be with the Grassroots, the 60s band's the Grassroots.
No, but just like they have to name the, it's like the character's name is Creed.
Yeah.
Like your name, so you don't forget.
Yeah. He's great on that show. He's creepy and funny on that show. I loved everybody on that show. That was a funny show. Hey, have you guys seen the thing that's online now? Somebody took scenes from The Office where they had to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there are episodes where they were like trying to pull a prank, so they were being quiet. Or, you know, there's an episode mm-hmm. where Jim is holding up the a tablet with stuff written on it. Well, they intercut it with scenes from A Quiet Place. Oh. So it's like a mashup of A Quiet Place and the quiet scenes in The Office. It's really funny. It's really, really funny. It's of course, you know, it's online, so you can get it anywhere. Let's see. How about Gunther from Friends? Who's Gunther?
He worked at the coffee shop.
Is he the bald guy?
No, he had very blonde hair. He was kind of creepy.
His undying commitment to the woman he loves, his fashionable hairstyle, his fluency in Dutch, this guy is a catch. And if Rachel can't see that, then she better get out of the way and make room for someone more appreciative. Did he have a thing for Rachel?
Yeah, he had quite a thing for Rachel.
Okay. I should know this. I hired him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just didn't see any of his work. I saw him.
What about him?
I saw him in Death of a Salesman.
Oh, wow.
Willie Loman. He played Willie Loman.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I was.
Where did you see that?
In a coffee shop in Europe.
That's quite a difference.
It was
space.
Really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the inspiration for the coffee shop?
That's right. Obviously, Central it was. Park. And oddly, even though I was in Europe, it was called Central Park. Hmm. That was the name of the
Goodness.
Coffee shop. So that's
what
so
did Central, you pay them any money?
No, are you kidding?
Essentially, took their.
Was it Central Perk or was it Central Perk in German?
It was Central Perk in German. Yeah.
You speak German? Or
No. I had to have Gunther actually.
You asked him what's the name?
What's the name of this place? And then he said it's Central Perk in German. And I was like, all right, thank you, Willie.
Mm.
Thank you, Mr. Lohman. So that's how we got the gig. When you know, when you play Willie mm-hmm. Loman, that's like one of the quintessential roles in theater.
Wow. So you gave him a side.
I gave him a very supporting, funny role on Friends because he played Willie Loman so well.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
not one of the leads.
Not
right.
one of the leads.
You would think.
You'd think you played Willie Loman and you played him well that you could probably play a lead.
Yeah, I don't want I don't want to judge your creative process or anything.
Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right, man.
All right. From Larry Sanders' show, they had a bunch of great supporting actors, but one of my favorites was Artie, played by Rip Torn.
Classic. I mean, just, he's so good on that show. And that show, like you mentioned, like all the supporting, you know, characters on that show are so great. I mean, Artie.
Odenkirk,
and you got Jeffrey Tambor. It's just everybody on that show is magnificent. That show is one of the greatest shows of all time. And on top of that, Mike, all of the celebrities who played themselves
the show. Yeah,
David Duchovny, who had a crush on Larry Sanders. That's one of the best subplots in that show, man.
It was great, man.
It's such all a great show. Dude. All right, Mike, thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm watching that documentary about Gary Shandling
mm-hmm.
that was on that's been on HBO that Judd Apatow made 4.5 hours and not a wasted moment in it. It's brilliant. I watched it. And all I wanted to do afterwards was just watch all Larry Sanders. I wanted to watch every episode of Larry Sanders again.
You didn't want to watch the Gary Shandling.
That's
show?
A great show too. Yeah, that was great too. Groundbreaking show again. Two of the most groundbreaking sitcoms ever. You know, Gary Shandling show had the greatest theme ever.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody picked Flanders from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid, sexy Flanders. Oh, Magnitude from Community.
Oh, right. Wow.
That's another show that had fantastic supporting characters.
Yeah.
Somebody picked Kenny Banya from Seinfeld, the bad stand-up comedian.
Oh. Okay.
Who Seinfeld gives the Ovaltine routine to.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then finally, Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead. And that's Norman Reedus. He basically stole the show.
Yeah, he's better than the main people.
I'll tell you what. You know the Walking Dead is notorious for killing, major people off. Mm-hmm. When they kill Daryl off, there're going to be riots.
Oh, right. Well, the show will just end.
Exactly.
Cuts to black.
That's exactly right.
And the world ended.
That's right. We killed Daryl. Show over.
The world is over now.
Right.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Fly Jams Friday and all that stuff. And we're going to be talking to a guy who has ghostwritten over 550 books.
Wow.
Fascinating guy who's written some great columns. And we'll talk to him as well.
Very good.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Take a break. The news is coming up next.